May the Lord help us to commence our anniversary services this afternoon with the hymn number one on the sheet. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn number one.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 7. The first book of Samuel, reading chapter 7. One Samuel chapter 7, and the men of Kirjath-jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. O Lord God, Almighty, help us to come before thee now, and teach us how to pray, and bless us each with that true spirit of prayer. Lord, as we have favour to be found met together here on this afternoon, on this anniversary occasion, and this special anniversary, and are, as a hymn writer once penned, and still we meet at thy command to seek thy gracious presence here. O Lord, do come, and come by thy Spirit, and come by thy word, and may thy gracious presence be known and felt here this day. O Lord, may we be found of those true worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. So Lord, do remember us each as we come before thee now, to approach before thy holy majesty, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace, room for poor needy sinners to venture before thy holy majesty, room for poor needy sinners to come boldly unto the throne of grace. O, room for poor troubled souls to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God. For Lord, thou art the one true living God, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Who is a God like unto thee? There is none. Who may be compared like unto thee? There is none. Thou art the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the ruler of rulers. And O Lord, we come before thee now to worship thee. And we will bow our heads before thee. And, O Lord, do remember us and be very gracious and very merciful. And do grant us of thy good spirit. Might we know that spiritual worship, that worship from our hearts. O mercifully deliver us from all that is of the flesh, of the natural man, of the carnal mind. O, deliver us from that which is only of an outward appearance, but do grant to us of thy good spirit. And may the Spirit move upon the face of the waters here. What a great mercy if our hearts have been prepared. For Lord, we cannot prepare them ourselves. We remain hard-hearted, unbelieving, far off, and so carnally minded in all our thoughts and considerations. But, O Lord, would it please thee to so come and prepare our hearts. Take away the heart of stone and grant that heart of flesh. And, O Lord, do help us to come aright in reverence, in godly fear. And, O, to come aright in that felt need, oh, to be a needy soul, in need of mercy, in need of Christ, in need of salvation, in need of living water, living bread, in need of a token for good, in need of a blessing, in need of help, divine help. Oh, to be a company of needy souls, but with our eyes upon thee. Oh, how Jehoshaphat was in great need, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And Lord, by faith, may our eyes be upon thee here this day, looking unto Jesus. Looking to thee to pour us down a blessing. Oh, looking to thee, Lord, to grant us thy precious word of truth, and by thy Spirit to apply thy word, to grant us that word in season, that word from the Lord. How dependent we are upon thee, Lord, in this is our great need, so dependent. But Lord, we would beseech thee and implore thee, O, so to come. Rend the heavens, come down, cause the mountains to flow down at thy presence, and grant us here a blessing this afternoon. Lord, should there be found any here, yet dead in trespasses and in sins, satisfied with a lamp of profession, a name to live, oh, would it please thee, Lord, to touch their hearts. Oh, to pluck them as brands from the burning, to quicken and awaken, and, Lord, bring them into great need. Oh, like that prodigal son where we read, he began to be in want. Oh, bring souls, Lord, into want, into need of salvation. What must I do to be saved? Remember seeking souls, longing souls, burdened souls, those who long to believe and yet fear to resume. Oh, those who long to know that peace in believing, that sweet assurance of faith, to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine and I am his. Lord, remember such who may need a confirmation that their religion is real, that they are born of God and found in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. We do remember the dear little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life. Oh, Lord, remember them in their young and tender days. And have mercy upon each of their never-dying souls. Lord, keep them from this world which lieth in wickedness. Oh, do keep them, Lord, on every side, on every hand. Watch over them, guard them, and guide them. May they be taught to pray, and prove thee to be their prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Remember, dear parents, also, and we think also of grandparents, and grant much grace and wisdom, help and discernment, patience and understanding to bring our children up aright in this most evil, wicked, and corrupt generation. Remember all in the midst of life, many burdens, many cares and responsibilities. Lord, do remember older friends also now in more senior years and the various infirmities and weaknesses that are known and felt. Sanctify these things unto them. Lord, remember any here in trouble or distress, sorrow, sadness, disappointment, those who are burdened, those struggling to continue. Lord, those who need much help and wisdom, patience, submission, resignation, they feel to need much grace. Lord, remember them. So, Lord, we meet together on this occasion, and oh, we would be truly thankful for all that thou hast done for this church and people here in maintaining their lot. And especially we would be truly thankful all to witness that thy Spirit remaineth here, that thy Spirit has been at work. A city not forsaken. Lord, we would rejoice with them and praise God from whom all these blessings flow. And Lord, remember them still, maintained throughout many, many years, as week by week they gather here to worship thee, week by week thy servants come to preach the glorious gospel of Christ. Oh, Lord, do go on and work mightily by thy Spirit. Pull down those strongholds of Satan. For, Lord, we know that wherever the Lord is at work, so is Satan, opposing, resisting, threatening, frightening, accusing, seeking to prevent that work of God. Oh, keep Satan away. And, oh, Lord, do continue to let thy work appear. And may there yet be others constrained by the love of Christ, or enabled to testify, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Lord, do bless the church with peace, love, unity, harmony, and yet prosperity. O Lord, remember the congregation also, from the youngest to the eldest. And if it would be thy holy will to grant that godly increase also. So, Lord, we do remember this cause of truth, and we join with them this day. But, O Lord, remember each cause represented. O, do remember the little hills of Zion, and all the gatherings of thy people. Lord, we know there are some here, minished and brought very low, some struggling to continue. Lord, remember them, appear for them. Oh, Lord, may it be our great concern, where'er we meet, to know that thy Spirit remaineth. Oh, grant to us much grace, that we do not grieve thy Holy Spirit. O, do mercifully keep us from grieving thy Spirit. The consequences are so solemn, so serious. Lord, keep us very humble and very tender, and may we know that gracious filial fear of God in our hearts in exercise. Ever seeking to do that which is right in the sight of God, and grace to flee from all appearance of evil. So, Lord, do remember each cause of truth represented, and oh, shine upon the churches. We do rejoice where in other places one and another also has made that open profession of faith, and Lord, what is so wonderful there? Ah, where the Lord has been at work, and working a heart of sinner quickened, converted, and drawn to Christ. Oh, may there yet be many more. Lord, may there be many here this afternoon. Oh, Lord, work in the hearts of many, that thy name be honoured and glorified. O do ever grant us that single eye to thy honour and to thy glory. So, Lord, do remember each of thy true sent servants, and do help them and encourage them as they stand upon the walls of Zion to blow that gospel trumpet with no uncertain sound. And, oh, bless the preaching of the gospel. Oh, Lord, do bless thy people. Remember thy people throughout the whole earth. Especially would we pray for those who suffer much tribulation, persecution, opposition and oppression. Those not as favoured as we are, nor perhaps those in other parts of the world, and they have no roof over their head, exposed to the elements of cold or heat. Lord, there may be those who meet together, but in fear of the authorities, whether in great danger and peril. Lord, be that wall of fire round about them, and protect them, O Lord, we pray. Do bless, Lord, thy word as it goes forth around the whole world, in all nations. And, O Lord, may it go forth as the light of God. O, to give light to shine, and to shine in the hearts of many. We do thank thee, O Lord, for thy precious word of truth. But do make it that living word, living and abiding in our hearts. May we ever hear thy voice speaking through thy word. Lord, we would be thankful for all thy many mercies toward us. Lord, we have many mercies, blessings, comforts, privileges, which perhaps we take for granted. Lord, forgive us where we remain unthankful and unmoved. Oh Lord, we would be blessed with truly thankful hearts, and consider thy great goodness, thy kindness, thy compassions failing not. And when we consider what great sinners we are, and not worthy of the very least of thy mercies, oh, not worthy of any blessing, any comfort, any help, oh, how thankful we ought to be. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may faith behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Lord, do help us through the services. Oh, Lord, do shine upon thy word. Open it up to our understanding. And grant the Spirit's gracious application. And may we not be hearers only, but doers also. Compassion on us have, we pray. Empty send us not away. As we would ask all, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Let us sing the second hymn on the hymn sheet. King of kings and Lord of lords, these are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song. Hymn number 2.
Yes, the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct your prayerful attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, and the former part of verse 22. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, the former part of verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now, I suppose we would slightly change the text from the singular to the plural. And we think especially of the cause of truth here at Swayze. After all these many, many years, having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. What have God wrought? What have God wrought? Well, in the first place, and I think not so much of a building 150 years off, but the church. Going back to the 1700s, I'm just going from memory, I think it's 1790 when first formed here. And what is a church? You see, a church in the strictest form is not the building. The church are the members who have joined together in church membership. And being strict and particular Baptists, we church members have made that open profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is that testimony, that call by grace, that humble hope of what we trust and believe the Lord has done for our never-dying souls. That work of God's almighty, sovereign, irresistible grace in the hearts of his people. And let us remember that every child of God was born into this world dead in trespasses and in sins, or with not any spiritual life whatsoever. But the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. All that these souls are wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. That appointed time comes when the Lord, I will work and who shall let it? Or when the Lord begins that work of grace, when that soul is born again and brought into need, brought into great need concerning their never-dying soul. With some it is sudden, with others it is gradual, but there will be that gracious effect where there is that work of grace. Remember, it's God the Holy Spirit working in the heart. And that soul, whether brought up under the sound of a gospel ministry, or that soul far off in the world and the ways of the world, or will be brought to see their great need of salvation. Salvation by grace, God's grace. And that soul will be given that spirit of prayer. For behold, he prayeth, will be the heavenly testimony of every soul, where the Lord will teach that soul to pray. What an evidence of that work of grace in the heart. Do we have one here this afternoon? Or how you long to believe and yet fear to presume? Or you may fear there can be no hope for you, no salvation for you, no Christ for you. You have many, many doubts and fears if your religion is real, is it of God? But as the Lord taught you to pray, yes, Oh, how we bemoan our prayerless prayers. How we long for that true spirit of prayer. And where the Lord will teach his people to pray, he will bring that soul into need and sanctify that need. And oh, that need will concern their soul salvation and never-ending eternity. And that great need will be for God's mercy. Oh, every sinner to be saved by grace will be taught their need of God's mercy and to obtain God's mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, that need of mercy and obtaining God's mercy will so humble a soul. Yes, that soul will know that they are a sinner who do not deserve God's mercy. And yet how sweetly, graciously, the Holy Spirit will teach that mercy can never be earned, never be merited, never be deserved. It's of God's grace. And that soul, blessed with that hope of obtaining God's mercy, so prays for God's mercy. And oh, what a blessed time when there is that humble hope of obtaining God's mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he who is the open door of God's mercy, the door of his mercy is open all day to the poor, to the needy, who knock by the way. So the Lord will teach them to knock, teach them to come, teach them to cry unto him and reveal a precious Jesus to the eye of faith, to behold the Lamb of God, to come to him as a poor, guilty sinner, and there in humble confession of sin, that godly sorrow which worketh repentance, but that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him, but to hear his voice, to know that peace in believing. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And when the Lord Jesus is pleased to reveal himself, that soul is melted before God. And there is such a love unto the Lord Jesus, that love unto the people of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Yes, that love to God and that love one to another. And so the people of God are brought together. We're enabled in church membership. And so it was here in Swavesey those many, many years ago, the Lord working in the hearts of one and another. And no doubt at that time the baptism would have been at a local river or brook. And thus they joined together in church membership, and a church was first formed here at Swavesey those many, many years ago. And having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. Oh, when we consider down through the histories of time, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. It's all the work of God. It all speaks of his grace, his Spirit's work in the hearts of his people, that his name might be honoured and glorified. Well, I just had time to briefly read through the booklet ye have on the history of the cause here. And so there was the old meeting house where they continued for some time before it seemed to fall into disrepair. And a new meeting house was needed where they might gather together. And it was 150 years ago when this present building was built. And there were the opening services on that day, and the Lord blessed the word. And from that time, so the Lord has continued. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. And really, it is remarkable. Don't take these things for granted. You see, it's in our text. Having therefore obtained help of God. Now, the child of God will prove it personally. It is only as we obtain help of God that we can continue. Without his help, we cannot continue. Cannot continue in the pilgrimage, cannot continue in the narrow way. The Lord, who is faithful, gracious, merciful, good and kind, will always help his people to continue. Yes, they will prove that they are sinners and cannot cease from sin. They will prove that in their flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Or they will prove at times, in great troubles and trials and distresses, the help of God. Or they will prove their failings and shortcomings. They will prove God's faithfulness and God's goodness. They will prove, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to prove those words. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Though at times we feel to be left, we feel to be forsaken, we feel to be cut off, we feel to be abandoned, only to prove, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. The Lord will bring his people safely through. Not an hoof shall be left behind. All Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Where the Lord begins that work of grace, he will finish it. Or the Lord won't leave it half done. The Lord will continue to teach, continue to guide, continue to lead, continue to uphold, continue to supply every need. Although the Spirit may be grieved at times and may withdraw those blessings and comforts and felt helps, but the Spirit will never depart, never depart. Ah, we have many characters in Scripture. We often think of David, Samson, Peter, and how they fell, grievously fell. They sinned. They brought a reproach upon the cause of God, but they repented of their sins and they were restored. All restoring grace. He restoreth my soul, and each of those dear souls are now in heaven. So with every child of God, they shall be helped to continue unto the day of Christ. But oh, how that help is needed. How that help is pleaded. Lord, help me. Lord, help me this day. Help me in this trouble. Help me in this stress. Help me to continue. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now, the same cannot be said concerning any local church. You think of the seven churches in Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, not one of them continues. All long since gone. All once there the Lord begun working the hearts of souls gathered together in church membership. But by and by, they all gradually closed. So this cannot be said of every local church, New Testament church, that they will always continue. This seems to be one of the burdens I carry in coming before you, certainly this afternoon. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. 1869 was a significant year amongst the Gospel Standard Strict Baptists. It was the year that J.C. Philpott died in December. And how the Lord had so greatly used him. And how the Lord had helped him. But then the time came when he must die. But the gospel would continue. All the preaching of the gospel would yet continue amongst the Lord's dear people. And whether he preached at the old meeting house at Swavesey, I know not. But the Lord isn't reliant upon man. Yes, the Lord will use the preaching of the gospel to prosper his word. But it's all of God. All of God. And you think, since the time that this chapel was built, so ye have continued. Continued through the First World War, when I'm sure, like so many other places, the young men went off to fight, and no doubt some never returned. And I'm sure there were many prayers here for their loved ones. Then the Second World War, also another generation of young men going on off to fight, and perhaps some never continued. Oh, you think of the prayer meetings at that time, a time of war, a time of trouble, a time of danger. Or you think of the prayer meetings and how many perhaps came to the house of God here to cry unto God. Oh, for this people, this cause, and those in the midst, and those who went off to fight, and oh, especially with the real threat of danger, of warfare, looming upon them, overshadowing them. But still they continued. But then a very, very sad and grievous thing happened here. Satan got in. And is it not true? Has it not been the case down through the histories of time where Satan has got in? Got into a congregation, got into a church, and caused trouble, and caused strife, and caused division. And it seems sadly what happened here, the trouble was so great that the church was dissolved and the services here ceased. The congregation dispersed around. What a sad and distressing time it must have been. And sadly, there are many, many other places of worship where the same has happened. And also where numbers have dwindled right down. Eventually the time has come when the doors were shut to be opened no more. And the building sold. It particularly struck me recently. I find it so sad, the cause at Rochdale, which only this year has closed and been sold. And you think of how that began. John Warburton, the Lord using him, blessing his ministry, a congregation built up there in Rochdale, and how that chapel was built. And I think he says in his book, it was built in hope that it might be continued in hope. And now it's closed. And now it's sold. And this has been the case all around. I remember when I was younger reading, I think it was a 1950s Gospel Standard with the list of chapels, and I think there was about 500 to 600 chapels listed there. And what are we now, below 100? Well, the point is, here at Swavesey, the chapel closed for a time. And yet in the purposes of God, the Lord would reopen the doors here after a few years, raising up one Mr. Ayres, putting such a burden upon him that the services of God's house might continue here. And since that time, I understand there has been a gradual increase. And so really you are brought to say, having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. It could have been so different. Or when all around the country, chapels have been closed, chapels have been sold, some have been demolished, some have been turned into warehouses, residential buildings and the like. But here still you meet at his command to seek his gracious presence here. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. And perhaps what is so special, what is so sacred, what is so wonderful, you have those witnesses of the Lord's work here to know that the Spirit remaineth. And I would just lovingly speak to other causes here represented, and I know I look around and some of you are minished and brought very low, some struggling for survival, some wondering what the future holds. Well, perhaps there is something here for you in our text. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. And you see, the help of God is needed to continue. The help of God, oh, yet to build up, to restore, to revive. The help of God, oh, how we need the help of God in the day and age in which we live. A day of small things. But you know the Lord still is working. Oh, the Lord is still able to save uttermost sinners. The Lord is still able to bring back, if you will, uttermost prodigals. Having therefore obtained help of God. Now, surely, in this word obtained, and I see something so similar to that word in Philippians, obtaining God's mercy, or it's to be pleaded, to be supplicated, to be begged, to be prayed constantly. If we really need the mercy of God, does not the Lord stir up our hearts to cry out for his mercy? Not to be content in seeking his mercy, but obtaining his mercy. Well, again, if we need the help of God, personally, collectively, in Zion, and dear friends, we do need the help of God. The days in which we live are dark and evil. We need the help of God. Oh, Satan is very, very active. We need the help of God to be kept. We need the help of God to be preserved. We need the help of God to continue. Because without the help of God, we cannot continue. But oh, to obtain God's help. Divine help. Wonderful help. Almighty help. And I know there are many of you here who can witness of God's help. It is one of those most remarkable prayers we have in the Word of God, when David was enabled to pray unto God, and in a time of need, in a time of distress, thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. How many here this afternoon can pray that prayer? Can truly turn to the Lord? Thou hast been my help. Now, we read in Samuel of Ebenezer. That Ebenezer, stone of help, raising up that Ebenezer to God's help. Can we look back in our lives, our pilgrimage? Can we look back in Zion, in the churches? Thou hast been our help. And he that has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. And so here at Swayze, the Lord has been your help, helping you to continue. I'm sure when the church was first formed, and also when his chapel was built, there were many prayers for God's help. They needed God's help to supply their need. They needed God's help to go before. They needed God's help to maintain. And I'm sure when dear Mr. Ayres would seek to continue the services here, he needed God's help, and God helped him. Now think of this. You come into a time of need, you need help. Do you go to man or do you go to God? You go to man, man may help you, but the very best you will get is man's help. And you know, the best of men is only a man at best. A man's help can be insufficient. Man's help at times cannot be very helpful. But you go to God for help. And God has promised to help his people. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Especially the weaklings, the worthless worms. I will help thee. It's obtaining God's help. Wonderful help. Sufficient help. Yes, at times overflowing help. Oh, like Manoah and his wife when they looked on and the angel did wondrously, having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. Oh, how every true New Testament church needs God's help to be kept faithful. Again, I just read in a little booklet how Mr. Ayres sought to keep to the old paths. What help we need to keep to the old paths in this modern day and age in which we live. All to cleave to the old paths of God. Neither to turn to the left hand, nor to turn to the right hand. All to be kept faithful in the ways of God, faithful to the word of God. Oh, may the Lord ever keep us faithful to his word, the sacred scriptures. Having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. What help of God every church needs to be kept together, united, in peace, in harmony. Now, is it not in this, praying one for another. Praying one for another, bearing one another's burdens, seeking, as it were, in that right sense, to help one another. And if we feel we cannot help in a practical way, well, the Lord help us to help in a prayerful way. Oh, it is a wonderful thing when enabled to pray one for another. Oh, pray that the little foxes might be kept out. What gracious discernment is needed. I think many of you would agree with me. You read in the older magazines and biographies. And in former years, it just seems to be so much gracious discernment. I do feel, and I feel it much myself, that lack of gracious discernment. To discern what is of God and what is not of God. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. The officers of the church also need much help in the office that they hold as unto God. Not just in the choosing of the hymns, but the various responsibilities laid upon them. Or they will find it a great burden, a great exercise continually. But having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. How the ministers of the gospel need this help of God to preach faithfully the gospel of Christ. To preach Christ and him crucified. Or to preach a precious Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. To be faithful in the ministry. And as churches, we need the help of God to maintain a faithful ministry. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day. Now, as the apostle keenly felt himself, there was much opposition. Oh, and Satan will always oppose the work of God in a soul and in a congregation and in a church. Oh, he comes to separate brethren. He comes to put thoughts into minds. Oh, he comes in all sorts of various ways that he might get in and cause trouble and sorrow and havoc and distress. Oh, we need help of God to resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Well, not in any carnal means, but as a hymn writer penned, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And there is much to suggest our text. It speaks of prayer. Having therefore obtained help of God at the throne of grace, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Now the Lord help you to continue the prayer meetings here and other causes, the prayer meetings. But oh, do remember the closet. I would be very, very careful. I do feel that we live in such times when our lives are so busy, so full, so much to attend to, so many things crammed into our lives that we can neglect closet prayer. Now this is dangerous. And you see here Satan takes that opportunity to make our lives so busy, so full, we have so little time for prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us to be found much in the closet. Oh, there in secret unto God, and God shall reward thee openly. Who can tell what the Lord seeth in secret, what the Lord heareth in secret? You see, we don't need to make a big show of these things. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And is that not in the context of Elijah? What a man of prayer he was. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. And he prayed again. The prayer of faith. And there you see him upon the Mount Carmel. And his servant goes to the edge of the sea to look over to see any sign of clouds, any sign of rain. And he goes and he looks and he comes back and he reports and he says, there is nothing. What says a prayer of faith? Go again 7 times. Having therefore obtained help of God to go again 7 times. Yes, again and again and again, not vain repetitions, but that real felt need of God's help, of God to appear, or that real felt need for the Lord to perform. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now this the apostle proved, and have not some here this afternoon also proved? And oh, do we not come into situations again where we need God to perform? Go again 7 times. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, because the church of God is built up or when the Lord performs. When the Lord begins that work of grace. Or when the Lord draws sinners unto himself. Or when the Lord is pleased to loose the captives. Or when the Lord is pleased to loose the tongue of a stammerer, to cause a lame man to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the wonders God alone can do. You think of the captivity the children of Israel suffered when taken away into the Babylonian captivity, and they were in great distress. They were not only captives, but they were scattered abroad and driven out of their land. But then the Lord speaks of bringing them back. The Lord speaks of increasing them. The Lord speaks of blessing them, favouring them, doing great things for them. And the Lord also speaks, "Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like as a flock, as the Lord did here at Swayze back in 1790 and in 1869. And also when the church was reformed here, you see what the Lord has done. Having therefore obtained help of God, ye continue unto this day." And may the Lord help you and help us each to continue. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to help the churches to continue. And may we yet witness a revival, a building up again. You see, the Lord has done it, and the Lord is able yet to do it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, unbelief will say yes. Unbelief will have his impossibilities, his difficulties, things too crooked, too hard. But faith says with God, all things are possible. And faith will bring that soul to the throne of grace and to cry mightily unto God to obtain that help of God. And having obtained help of God, then to continue. But as we continue, still we need the help of God. Oh, we shall never get away from needing God's help. We think we get away from needing God's help, we will stumble, we will fall, we will turn aside. We think of Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Yes, a very present help in time of trouble. A helper of the helpless. What a subject we have here. The help of God. Individually, as well as collectively. But may it be ours through grace to obtain God's help. Having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day.
Tea will be served shortly after the end of the service. Can you please fill up the right-hand side of the chapel first? And the collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society. After the benediction, I have a short history of the church and chapel here. I will read, and then we will sing the doxology. Let us now sing hymn number 3. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Hymn number 3.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Now, as most of you know, this year marks the 150th anniversary of the building of this chapel, and it is also 230 years since the formation of the first particular Baptist church in Swavesey. For this reason, we would like to acknowledge the goodness of God in maintaining his church here over so many years. Great is thy faithfulness. And as the psalmist says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. The first particular Baptist church was established in Swavesey back in the 1700s. Interestingly, with the support of the well-known hymn writer John Berridge. The original congregation worshipped in a wooden chapel, the old meeting house, in Boxworth End, and was formed into a church on the 11th of March, 1789. They call themselves the Church of Christ at Swavesey. Some of the older members of our congregation remember the graveyard, which remained at the front of that chapel until about 1970, although the chapel building had long gone. During the late 1700s and early 1800s, the church had a succession of pastors and gradually grew in number. In 1839, there were differences in the church, and a group separated to form what is now Bethel Baptist Chapel just up the road. The church meeting at the old meeting house continued to grow, and there were over 90 members there by the 1860s. By 1868, the old meeting house had become dilapidated, and the church started to discuss a new meeting house under their new pastor, Mr. William Leach. As a result, this chapel was built in 1869. The cornerstone of the chapel, visible low down at the right-hand side of the front of the chapel, was laid on the 24th of March, 1869. And the opening services in the completed building were held on the 19th of October, 1869. At that time, there were 97 church members. Services continued in the new chapel with a succession of pastors until the 1940s, when, during a sad period, the chapel was closed and the congregation dispersed to other local chapels. But this was not for long. Our late deacon, Mr. Frank Ayres, who was known to many of us, asked the trustees for permission to hold services in the vestry from November 1950. Services began to be held again from that time and have continued to this day. Since the chapel reopened, there has not been a pastor. However, the Lord has been very good to us and maintained us by sending so many of his ministers over the years. Many times the Lord has used the preaching of visiting ministers to the benefit of souls here. We continue to pray that in his time he will send us a pastor according to his heart, one of his choice for us. So at our anniversary service today, we desire to give thanks to God for this building where hundreds have been able to worship for 150 years. It has been a wonderful provision for those who wish to hear the truth preached, but we would remember that the one true Church of God is composed of living souls and not bricks and mortar. We are very thankful today that through the years there have been so many testimonies of the work of the Holy Spirit here. A work which has continued to the present day. Just in the last couple of months, two of our congregation have been able to testify of the Lord's great goodness to them, and out of love to the Lord Jesus and to a desire to obey his commands, have followed their Lord in the path of baptism. So in this 150th anniversary year, we have much to thank and praise our God for. Testimonies that the Lord is still working among us here, and times when his presence has so clearly been known and felt in our services. We thank God also for a loyal and loving congregation that supports the church liberally. Our desire is that our God will continue to work among us here in showing souls their need of a Saviour and leading them to find salvation in a precious Jesus, the one thing needful. Now I just draw your attention to the booklets in the porch about the history of the church and this chapel. Please do help yourselves to copies, and as we have plenty, take for friends and anybody that you think would like one. We finish with the words and the spirit of the psalmist, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Let us now sing the doxology on the sheet, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow."